One of the things we've been discussing this morning is Sean Pendergast's article in the Houston Press about Brian Gaines' top five offseason priorities as the offseason begins this week. The first one was find a new strength and conditioning coach with the loss of Luke Richardson. The second was burn the midnight oil, scouting offensive linemen in the building and outside the building. I think we all agree on those, obviously. The third one is taking inventory in the secondary. And I think Sean agrees with me that it's going to be a choice between Tyrann Mathieu and Kareem Jackson. And then there's like what you do at the cornerback spot. I think that they're obviously going to have to draft somebody in the first two rounds.
But I also think you're going to have to pay someone. I think this offseason, and I'm not off the top of my head sure who's going to be available, who isn't. Some guys are going to be resigned. Other guys are going to be allowed to walk. But you need to take a long look at upgrading that position and finding someone who is a legitimate shutdown corner, not just from a, like, okay, this guy's young, he's talented. You need someone who can play man.
Yeah, but who's, I mean, who, okay, the shutdown corner that hits free agency.
There isn't that.
Are you going to trade for Patrick Peterson?
That is something that I think you have to leave on the table. And I think you have to wonder, okay, well, maybe... Do you explore like a future first round pick and a second for this season or something like that?
I'm not trading any future ones. Okay. I can't do that.
And Patrick Peterson's younger than you think, but he's getting up there in years. And he's still very good. But we know with cornerback, the problem with dominant cornerbacks is that it seems like they go from being dominant to mediocre
quickly.
Often very quickly. Yes. Yeah, there's no, I mean, some guys
and
do
when they
well.
When they change places and defensive schemes, too.
Yeah, so that's a good point, too, depending on what scheme they're playing. And
Nnamdi Asamoah just died overnight, essentially.
Yeah, that was an odd one, because he could have kept doing the same thing he was doing at Oakland if somebody had actually had him do that. But, yes. But as guys age, okay, like, am I going to, because if you trade for Patrick Peterson, you're not just trading for him, you're going to want to make him happy with a long-term contract.
Yep.
And then you're given, you're potentially hamstringing yourself on into the future. So that's the question. Like, look, they went out and they spent money on Aaron Colvin this last offseason. They did what looked to be the financially feasible thing to do, which
yes.
is you're not doing a huge contract, but it's for a guy who's a good slot corner. They wanted to use him as a slot corner, which I don't know if McClain misspoke the other day or something, but I thought he said that they wanted to use him on the outside. I remember them very clearly saying that they planned on starting him on the inside and using it slot. I think John might have just...
I thought he had actually said the opposite. I thought he said that they only view him as an inside guy.
Okay, misheard him.
Yeah. Which, for me, didn't really make a ton of sense, but whatever.
No, that's what they had said. I mean, I remember hearing that. That's like, I don't know if only an inside guy, but they knew that's what he excelled at, and they wanted to use him as... So they spend the money on him. So what you have to hope is that Aaron Colvin was simply an injury issue.
Yeah.
And that is, which makes the most sense. There's no possible way in my mind that they just simply thought that healthy Sharice Wright was better than 100% healthy Aaron Colvin. So it had to have been that Aaron Colvin just wasn't the same. Like maybe even, and Mike, because you kept asking the question, well, like, why was he okay to go out?
Yeah.
Because that's what happens. I mean, I think a lot of times, like, when you're doing drills and rehab and practice and everything, especially later in the season, for one, the athlete lies to himself. Like, I lied to myself when I was coming back from injuries. You just feel like, yeah, I feel good. I'm fine. Yeah, whatever. And then 6 months later, you think back on it, you're like, holy crap, I was not fine at all.
Yeah.
And I think Aaron Colvin might have been in that mode so that he just didn't get that quick twitch back, and he didn't look as good as Sharice Wright, which is scary, except that hopefully it's fine after an offseason.
Number two, assess the books before free agency gets here. This is Sean's list of to-dos for Brian Gain. And he kind of mentioned some guys who we haven't talked about much as far as offseason decisions. Do they give DJ Reader a new deal? What do they do with Whitney Mercilus, 1 year left on his contract? They also could cut Ryan Griffin or Lamar Miller if they want to save cap space. I mean, the Reader one, I think, is interesting because, you know, you're not thrilled with the idea of just giving guys more money, but it does seem like DJ is a pretty solid player who helps your run defense a lot.
When does he need to get more money?
Well, he doesn't need to, but he's heading into the last year of his deal, which is usually around the time when the Texans give guys new extensions.
This is his fourth year already?
It will be.
It's been quick.
What the hell?
I know.
Yeah. It's DJ Reader's fourth season.
He's been in the league for three seasons, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. God, I feel like an old man.
I know. I mean, it's crazy. You think about it, 2016, 17, 18, there you go.
Yeah. It's funny, too. I think that's a relatively, I don't want to say a simple affair, but when you have the cap space to do it, and when you've got, look, I'm both impressed and sometimes complain about the fact that this is an awesome defense in 1995. Like, they can stop the run really well, but they're not quite as good in the pass coverage game as you need. But DJ Reader's a big part of that.
Right, and I think having a guy like Reader, that's going to help clog a lot. I mean, think about some of the teams that are still playing in the league. I think you're going to see on Sunday the New England Patriots missing that exactly.
Their run defense is atrocious.
Right,
yeah.
It's just not good. And it's because they don't – remember back in the day they always had a big fat guy in the middle.
Yeah.
I mean, it helps to have that big clog. That's what DJ Reader is.
One thick dude goes a long way.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times that guy can keep you – from being like a bad defense just because it helps out. Like sometimes you might not even have a good run defense, but at least it's not an atrocious run defense because you have one guy soaking up double teams and it makes everybody else's job easier.
Or who's just not getting pushed back. Sometimes it's simple as occupying space, I imagine, for especially in these 3-4s, like going back to maybe the late 90s and early 2000s. Just having a guy just standing there and not moving, essentially, that does a lot for you.
Last one, the top thing on the to-do list is the Clowney situation. Not a surprise. Mm. Does he get the tag? Does he get traded? Does he get a long-term contract? The only way I would think about trading Clowney is if I was, like, guaranteed some kind of return on a position of, like, desperate need. Like, I knew I was getting a cornerback or an offensive tackle, especially, that I could, like, plug in and play. And I just don't know if that would be realistic.
Yeah, or trading him to a team that you are fairly certain is going to be drafting early on in the draft. I'm guessing the Raiders, when they made that trade for Khalil Mack, when the Bears traded for Khalil Mack, they probably assumed that, check that. I'm stupid. I keep on talking in circles. I think that the Raiders probably thought the Bears would not be as good as they were this past season. And I think that was a reasonable expectation given that Mitchell Trubisky was really essentially going into, as the second part of his rookie year. Cause I mean, this is a guy who his rookie year didn't really do a whole lot, but the Bears defense was really good. So now the Raiders are going to be picking at the back of the first round. You don't want to trade a guy like Clowney and end up with like a top, like 30 pick. You want to have like a top 10 pick so you can maybe land one of those transcendent players that's a foundational piece for a couple of years.
The thing I do wonder about is if Clowney gets the franchise tag, I don't really know what more he can do to prove to you that he's worth a long-term deal that he would be asking for, that you would be giving the franchise tag because he wants a certain kind of deal.
Nothing. He's going to be I think he is what he is right now. I
agree.
I think he can get better in certain aspects, but I do think like from a statistical perspective and from a what he brings to the table perspective, I think he is about what he is.
This is the... You know, they played a lot of 4-3 towards the end of the season, and in a lot of respects, they're kind of constructed to be a good 4-3 defense. Like, if J.J. Watt was a 4-3 left defensive end, and Jadavion was a right defensive end. But they're also, when it comes to rushing the passer, it seems they do a lot of things with scheme where it's really cool that Jadavion goes up and rushes over guards and centers and can do all that, and it's kind of scary. But it also does present some weaknesses to the defense. When you basically have him playing like a off the ball linebacker instead of a on the ball pass rusher. And I wonder like just how sustainable is that towards becoming great? I'd like him to be a more conventional pass rusher.
Yes.
I'd like him to be a guy that just lines up on the edge and gets after it, who can come inside and do some damage at times.
Do you want Merciless to be able to do that too? And isn't Clowney doing that, not let Merciless do that?
The way they're doing it, yeah.
Yeah.
Whitney played 39 snaps on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Think about that. He played 39 snaps. They were on the field for like 70 plus.
Yeah.
Think about that. That's crazy. Time now for Matt Takes. We can do a Twitter poll about this later. I think I might need Paul to like combine a few images here.
Plus, go ahead, sorry.
I was just gonna say, do I look like Liev Schreiber? Scriber? How do you pronounce his name?
Liev Schreiber?
Schreiber.
Like Schreiber? That sounds like a woman political analyst.
Oh, he's Ray Donovan.
Yeah, he's Ray Donovan.
He's Ray Donovan. Guy. He's been a narrator for some of the All or Nothings on Amazon. He was
HBO. Hard Knocks.
In the Wolverine origin movie for X-Men.
He plays a bad guy.
He plays. Wolverine's brother.
I think there have been a couple times where, I could see that a little bit because of the scruffage. You got kind of like a compressed chin and jaw, and. Like a square face, not a compressed chin and jaw, but like a square face. And he's played a Russian several times, has he not?
I'm sure he has.
Seems like he's played a Russian, so people associate you with Russians because you're Russian. And
I think he was in that movie Defiance with Daniel Craig, which was about a band of, I want to say, Polish refugees who were basically living in the woods trying to fight off the Nazis. And he was one of like the main like tough guys that was leading that that said troop.
You know what's interesting is... I know he's definitely played some roles where he has an English accent when he's the villain, like he's the English villain or the Australian villain. And then when I see him with an American accent, I've always thought like, oh, wow, he does a good job with the American accent. But he's actually American.
So oh, he's he is American, yeah.
He is a, usually if you say somebody looks British, you don't, like, it's not like a big strapping manly type, but, that's what he is.
So,
of course, now I say that, but then Liam Neeson, obviously British. Sean Connery is UK.
And to kind of set this up more, I was at a dinner last night with like a friend of mine and a bunch of people who I'd met for the first time, and they said, hey, you look like an actor and it'll come to me. And then a few minutes later they said, Liev Schreiber is the one who I remind them of.
Always safer to say a man looks like an actor, unless it's like Steve Buscemi or something, than like to say a woman looks like an actress. Because a woman will find reason to be offended, even if it's like an incredibly gorgeous actress or something. Some women will find cause for insult, even though you met like, wow, you look like Jennifer Aniston. And it's like, oh, you think I look 50? That's great, thanks. We're like, all right, I give up.
Yeah,
you and I are not a match.
Because there are a lot of times where you'll make a comparison and they'll find the one fault in that person.
Yeah.
Even if the sad reality is that typically the person that you are making the comparison to actually looks better than the person you're comparing them to.
Yes.
I mean, like, that's why you're making the comparison, because you're trying to boost them up.
Yeah.
So you're saying maybe the issue was that I said you look like an uglier Jennifer Aniston?
Well, maybe that's what they implied it as. I think that's definitely part of it.
I can't remember what it was. I remember I was in college once and I told a girl she looked like a prettier, some celebrity who was pretty, but I said, you look like a, like, let's say Jennifer Aniston, because that's the only celebrity. Like, oh, you look like a prettier Jennifer Aniston. That went over well. That went over very well.
Okay.
Especially, like, I passed it off kind of like casually, you know, just because that was my genuine thought. She was real. Real bitch, though. Real bitch. As you might expect, if you look like Jennifer Aniston at Cornell, you get way too much attention.
Yeah, that's the problem.
You're the unicorn there, and you get way too much attention. Cliff Kingsbury is now the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. The Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, that's new.
As some of you might know, maybe as, hey, it's news to me. But he had some interesting things to say when he was the coach of the Texas Tech Red Raiders about one Kyler Murray, who has now entered the NFL draft.
I don't have enough good things to say about him. He's phenomenal. I've never seen him have a poor outing, not one, which a quarterback, it's impossible to do, but he's done it. And I don't know. I'd take him with the first pick of the draft if I could. I know he's signed up to play.
Boom! First pick in the draft. Problem is they already have a quarterback that they took in the first round last year.
And I'm guessing this is one of those deals where if you're Arizona interviewing people and if they're out on Josh Rosen, you're not going to hire them as a head coach.
Yeah.
Because they took him last year and they like him.
It was a little bit of like allegedly what happened when Gary Kubiak got the job. Sometimes when you're the head coach and you're interviewing, the first thing you need to do is convince the owner that, hey, everything's not as bad as people are telling you it is.
Yeah.
David Carr's just fine, and I'm going to fix him.
Which in that,
and then after 1 year, it's like, I don't know anybody. That guy from Atlanta will take Matt Schaub. I don't know.
By the way, did you guys hear that Cliff Kingsbury is off the market?
No.
And we had actually, well, I'm disappointed in this. And this,
voice
this
is
probably
incredible.
Why, I know, I was getting a little hot and bothered hearing him talk about that just a second ago. So apparently he is dating Holly Saunders of, I think formerly of the Golf Channel, maybe still of the Golf Channel.
I think formerly.
She used to be married to one Eric Casilius, who also worked at the Golf Network and at NBC Sports for a little bit of time. Holly Saunders, everyone. If you've watched the Golf Channel, I'm sure that you have seen her as one of those, like, sort of instructional, sort of reporter golfers. They have weird roles there where I feel that they do sort of play up to the attractiveness of the woman that they have on that show.
Yeah.
Holly Saunders is very attractive, but I'm very disappointed that that Cliff Kingsbury is no longer single.
You know who he got? You know how he got her? He looked at her and he met her and he's like, you look like, you know what? You look like a hotter Amanda Duffner. And she was like, oh, that's how it all works.
I like it. The thing is, I'm kind of glad that this came out into the open, because I had heard this a couple of months ago and I wanted to say it, but I also wanted to continue to live the lie that Cliff Kingsbury is going to be single, is going to be the offensive coordinator at USC, and is going to Joey Freshwater his way through all of the, co-eds of said university.
Did you guys see that Holly had tweeted, in response to the Arizona Cardinals, like, short video introducing Cliff Kingsbury? The desert just got a whole lot hotter. Congratulations, Cliff Kingsbury. So proud of you. Some Los Angeles guy replied, someone has a crush, and she said, always will. He's the best, and we are a little past the crush part.
Bad news for maybe the best thing for either the best thing for Cliff Kingsbury, or maybe it will crush his spirit and his soul. What is she's going to be traveling a lot? I know I need my NFL head football coach to have somebody at home that takes care of him. Not like she can have a job. I'm not like that, you know. But I mean, like some stability in his life, some constancy. Those two need to like, be there for each other.
Yeah,
at the end of the day.
Be there for each other. Yeah. So I was watching a little bit of trash TV yesterday. I have a bunch on my DVR and I wanted to clean through it after I watched the Rockets and Bucks game. I watched a couple episodes of the Jersey Shore Family Vacation, which I had fallen way behind on. I plan on watching the season premiere of The Bachelor at some point over the next 48 hours. And I was wondering if I should watch this Surviving R. Kelly show that's come out on the Lifetime channel.
Well, I've watched the first two episodes on demand, and I mean, it's compelling. I mean, afterwards,
I feel. Is it creepy or is it compelling? Because I feel like I've known that R. Kelly's creepy ever since I watched Chappelle's Show, and yeah. Chappelle's Show did the skit where he said, "I'm going to piss on you."
Yeah, that was in this documentary or docuseries, or whatever the technical term is.
They show the Chappelle Show part?
They show a clip, yes.
What a great show.
I mean, I'll put it this way, like, watching the first two episodes, I'm like, what the hell were we thinking having R. Kelly in studio on the show years ago? But, I mean, that is what it is.
It's R. Kelly.
Well, yeah, but saying, like, Paul, saying, well, don't we all know he's a creep? That's like saying, like, well, don't we all know what OJ did? But you're going to watch the documentary. You don't know all of it. You don't know all the stuff. You watch, like, the stuff about historical events. You know exactly what
is. Yeah, I know.
Like, why'd you watch Titanic? You knew it was going to sink.
I feel like this was such a well-known rumor for such a long period of time regarding R.
Yes,
Kelly.
That's not, the weird part.
Like, I don't really know that I want to go into the details of what exactly he did, because I'm sure it was all horrible.
Yeah, it's all really bad. I mean, and it's amazing thinking about in hindsight how he was able to get away with all this for such a long time. It's incredible.
By the way, Lindsay Lohan also has a television show now, and I don't know if anyone saw one of the promotional clips for this show, where she is in, I think, Mykonos, and she is talking to some of the people that are also on vacation with her in Mykonos. Anyway, this is what you got to expect out of Lindsay Lohan's new television show.
Very good at making things about you, and I'm not going to have that.
Keep going.
Jules, where are you from?
I'm from Detroit originally. I just moved back to Denver a year ago. You know, I need to spread my wings and, you know, whatever, like, explore.
You're like Buddhist a little bit?
No.
You sound it.
Really?
My family fly. Lindsay, I'm going to fly.
Very religious.
I'm religious in the sense of meditation. I do it 3 times a day. This is my own personal religion and the space that I need to then function myself. I'm going to watch you really closely.
Okay.
Because you're so religious.
My family's very religious.
My family's religious, she says.
So you waffled on that. You sound Buddhist. Yeah. Did that girl sound Buddhist to you?
No.
Can you play, what was
she even
saying?
She said that her family is religious, yeah. and she didn't say anything about being Buddhist, and Lindsay Lohan just jumps to you. Oh, you sound like you're Buddhist or something like that. Lindsay Lohan's Beach Club, yeah. Tuesday, it debuted on MTV.
It's interesting to me that, like, Lindsay Lohan, I could tell there, like, is elevated and well-traveled as she likes to think she is.
Well-traveled, yeah.
I think, like, immediately she said religious, she assumed that meant Christian, I think, versus, like, couldn't have possibly been any other. Okay.
I hate to be critical, but I was looking at the video as we were playing that, and she's got some work done to her face, and it's kind of freaking me out.
She's kind of like Patrick Peterson isn't as old as you think. Lindsay Lohan isn't as old as you think. I'm not basing that on looks. I haven't looked at her in a while, but she's just been around
forever, so long.
And she's probably not even – is she even 30?
Oh, I think she has to be 30.
I think of her as like a contemporary almost, like my age, but I think she's far younger than that.
Did you know that one of my father's favorite movies is The Parent Trap? He loves that movie. Yeah,
Lindsay Lohan's
the most recent one.
Lindsay Lohan's only 32 years old. I feel like she's been around for 3 decades.
Yeah,
which
she's
she
been
has, really, because she was in The Parent Trap.
I will say this, as far as people that have had work done that probably didn't deserve it, or probably didn't need to have it, may or may not have been, you know, stumbling around on the old pad, the iPad, which I use for purposes of, you know, making myself happy. And one of my favorite stars had some work done recently, and I'm very depressed about it.
That's always an unfortunate discovery, isn't it?
She's like 22.
Yeah,
what
you're like,
are you doing?
Why did you need this?
You look like a duck now.
Exactly.